Chris Riggs talks to clients, he focuses on three key areas: people, processes, and planning. As diverse as these areas are, they're intertwined with each other and have a common core. Bruce would tell you that they are connected by trust, a climate of trust within the company, and the trust earned from clients and customers as the company reaches beyond itself. In a recent conversation with Bruce, he stated that this focus on building trust within an organization becomes the primary asset of any company. Bruce gives us several different ways to understand the level of trust in an organization and its outreach to customers. A lot of spade work goes into it, but first, business owners and managers must catch the vision that Bruce lays before them. Be sure to catch Bruce's discussion about the concept of nobility in enterprise and how to build on that. They don't teach that in business school. Take a listen. Welcome to this edition of Business Builders Roundtable audio blog, and I'm with Bruce Riggs today. He's a writer, speaker, business coach. Bruce, welcome to our telecast.
Glad to be here, Rod. Thank you.
Great. Well, there's going to be lots of information. A lot of people will be able to access your information, your background, and all that, so I don't need to go into a lot of that right now, but give me your elevator speech. What do you talk about?
Well, as an executive coach, there are really probably three areas that are crucial to talk about. We always have to talk about people, and that's why the subject that we're talking about today in terms of trust is really the number one issue as far as I'm concerned. And if I only have one shot at presenting something or coaching something mm-hmm. to someone, it's always going to be about trust. So we talk about people, we talk about processes, we talk about planning a lot and, you know, how to differentiate, communicate competitive advantages. But today, truly, employees that, and specifically sales and marketing professionals who have the ability to develop long-term collaborative relationships with their client customer, that's your company's number one competitive advantage. Today, mm-hmm. what customers are looking for really are salespeople to come in, and basically we have a fiduciary relationship with them now. And the interesting thing about that word fiduciary is from the Latin word, it means trust. And so sales has become very complex. 36 months ago, we had 25 million salespeople in the domestic U.S. Today, they estimate we have about 18 million, and they're claiming in the next 5 years that number will be reduced down to about 4 million professional sales development type people. The reason for that is customers are telling us, listen, if you can't bring more value, if you don't bring something more to the relationship, then we might as well just go to the internet and get the information we need from the internet. So vendor-type salespeople are on their way out. Consultative salespeople and marketing people mm-hmm. who can develop trust and develop those long-term collaborative relationships are going to be the ones that's going to be invited back. And frankly, they're going to be very valuable too.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, just for our listeners, let me recap the fact that your background has been in sales. You do a lot of sales coaching, right. A lot of management mm-hmm. sales development. So when you're talking about trust, you're talking about trust between the marketing and sales face of the company and the client.
Mainly, but really we talk about the trust in terms of the team too. And again, because today in businesses, the number one competitive advantage is the individual, and more specifically, how the individual interacts with the customer client. And so if you have an organization that has a lot of collusion or a lot of trust issues within the organization, that's a problem. And typically what that looks like is you'll have a couple of individuals that that don't get along very well. And so one individual will come in on Monday morning and say, hey, I told you that we needed to have that report on my desk at 8 o'clock. And then the employee shoots back, well, it's only 8:01. And, you know, pretty soon it becomes a very intense relationship in terms of a lack of trust. And a lot of that is it starts to look like a hurricane building. And then you have one side pulling in people, and you have another side pulling in data and people. And eventually we call this the organizational killer, you know, collusion. Mm-hmm. And that organization is no more because they tore themselves apart from the inside out. So trust amongst team members is also critically important.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about how the lack of trust can help destroy. How do you get to that point? You take a group of people and you start to build trust. What mechanisms or dynamics do you try to build into that organization that might not have it?
Yeah. Well, there are several keys. First of all, you have to sit down and decide, both as an organization and as an individual, where are we philosophically when it comes to trust? Because when you approach someone or you approach a business, you're going to approach them one of two ways. You're going to approach them as you automatically get trust until you prove me different or prove that you don't deserve it, or I'm not going to give you any trust until you prove that you deserve it. So there's two. It's that cycle of trust. So there's a cycle of mistrust and there's a cycle of trust. And so when you automatically tell someone right off the bat, I trust you, what that causes is for you to really start to engage in a very healthy dialogue. A dialogue where you help me, I help you, which obviously leads to a win-win outcome. And really you start looking at people as allies. And that's very healthy. And you know, in the sales world, we have a tendency to really mess that up. One of those elements that we use that causes issues is we try to force rank our salespeople. And you know, as Jack Welch used to coach, the bottom 10% is going away every year. Mm-hmm. So if I help you and that puts me at potential jeopardy of losing my job, why would I help you? So you've got to really look carefully at how leaders are coaching and developing trust within the organization. It could be the little things that's killing your organization. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you do have that organization where that's involved, now you start to see everybody as an adversary. And your dialogue goes away. You start to engage in that collusion. And now you feel like if I help you, it's going to hurt me. So again, communication breaks down and the organization sometimes ends up in shambles.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the building blocks of trust?
Yeah, there are several building blocks. When I think about particular elements, you know, when if I get up and speak in front of a group and I'll ask the question, what is trust? Very few people raise their hand to answer that question. Those who do answer it, definition of it is so unimpressive or so non-impressive, mm-hmm. That most people start to take a mental nap while they're trying to define what the word is. There are individuals like David Maister, for example, who is an author and a business consultant. He really started to put the term or the definition of trust in a formula, which I particularly found very, very helpful. And when I'm coaching teams and organizations and individuals, I'll go back to this. And basically what he says, and we've modified it somewhat, but basically what he says, there's really four elements. And he puts it in a mathematical formula. E squared plus R plus I divided by SO. And the E squared actually stands for your experience and expertise. And you know, people who study expertise, what they'll tell you is you need about 10,000 hours before you can call yourself an expert. So I have some of the younger sales professionals and marketing professionals, they'll say, well, Bruce, I've only been working a couple years. How is people going to learn to trust me? Well, that is when you've got to really work hard and develop that expertise. And that's why the top 5%ers in the domestic U.S., there's always this group of individuals, especially in the sales profession world, there's always this group that is so much more productive. And, you know, it's the group that's standing on the stage at the end of every year in and year out. And so what is it about them? And really a lot of it is that they are an authority. They're seen as an authority. They work hard to develop their expertise. And that's very difficult. In fact, it takes work on a daily basis to get to the point where someone considers you an expert or an authority. So you've either got to have a little bit of the white hair or a little bit of the graying and have that experience, or you've got to develop that expertise. The second element of that equation is the element of reliability, which basically just means I'm going to do what I tell you I'm going to do. It means if someone, if you tell someone you're going to call them back, call them back. It may mean that at 4:45 in the afternoon when the phone rings, you pick it up instead of waiting and letting it roll over. Mm-hmm. It's always the little experiences. Every experience with a customer is a moment, and you either have positive moments or you have negative moments. And if you weigh the scales and you have many more negative moments or negative interactions with a customer than you do positive, what you've basically done is just open the door wide open for a competitor to come in and take that business. Yeah. So reliability is critical. And, you know, if you're looking at models, you would think about a company like FedEx. Mm-hmm. One of the things that FedEx will always tell you is when you call us, it is our expectation to pick that phone up before the second ring. And so that just sets culturally, that sets at FedEx, we're going to be reliable. And, you know, when you send a FedEx envelope overnight, one of the things they tell you, it's going to be there. And then, you know, for example, I walk in this office at the end of the day and I'll pick up my FedEx from the desk and I'll take that envelope and I'll zip it off. And it always zips off very consistently the same way. Now, I know it's kind of a silly illustration, but it does show another element of reliability. And then on the last element of the numerator is the element of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about there is the intimacy in terms of business rapport. You really have to learn as a marketing and business development professional, sales professional, or a small business owner, you need to learn how to develop some intimacy, some rapport with your customer and your client. Otherwise, if there's a mismatch there, there's going to be a problem with trust. And so there are a number of different ways to learn how to match and mirror and really make your client comfortable. But out of all of those, the most important one is the denominator. It's the bottom. It's the self-orientation. Mm-hmm. And typically what happens in most sales engagements, non-trained salespeople, is they go in and they just start talking about the product, they talk about the service, they data dump, they talk about how great their building is, they talk about all the awards they've won, and meanwhile, the customer has already checked out and they're already determining how they're going to get the person out of the office. Mm-hmm. And so that sales guy that goes in and has the mindset that it's going to be all about that customer, and they get into that customer's world right off the bat and change their orientation, that's very, very important. You know, there are ways to check your orientation too, and you've probably just had several individuals come to mind as I mentioned orientation. For example, you might be walking down the hallway at church and you see another individual coming down and you duck yourself in the classroom because you know automatically you're going to have a 30-minute conversation about that person's, their day, what they did the day, their achievements, et cetera, et cetera. That's not great. Yeah. But then you go to networking events, or you go, again, I'll use the church example. You see an individual at church where a lot of people are always wanting their attention and wanting their time. That's the definition of charisma right there. And it is typically due to that person, their orientation is always about others. The other way that you can check to see if you have an orientation problem is to go to your computer and print out the last 6 emails that you've sent to an individual or you've sent to a customer or a client. Mm-hmm. And take a red pen and circle how many times you use the word I or me or us in terms of your company. Yeah. And you may be shocked. And the how you should write those letters and how you should write those follow-ups is, again, the orientation should be all about the customer. And you can use the terms. You can change the I and me to you and your. And you'll do no destruction to the sentence. You'll do no destruction to the content of the message, but it will read much, much different, and the customer will see you differently. And so when you're talking about elements of building trust, those are the things you really got to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Are you an expert? Do you have expertise? Does your customer client see you as being reliable? Do you have the ability to develop some intimacy? And then again, most importantly, are you getting into their world or are you staying in your world?
Yeah, yeah. Good points to remember. You know, you talked about culture. And as a business owner or a leader within that group, whether it's a sales group or an accounting group or whatever, the leader really sets the tone. When you encounter an organization where there's a problem at the top, how do you approach that?
Well, again, you start to talk about these issues, and again, you have to get to that philosophical baseline about how you see, and what really holds back leaders from being great leaders is simply they don't trust their people. And it is through the trusting of your organization and your leaders in your organization that you can get a tremendous amount done based on, you know, synergy and the principles of synergy. And so when employees feel like they are not being trusted, they're not being valued by their leader, it's going to have a significant impact. And so we look at philosophically about trust. What's your position on trust? Both do you trust people automatically or do you mistrust them automatically? The other thing to really think about is another principle that we call the trust imperative, which, you know, basically when you're dealing with employees and you're dealing with customers or clients, again, it goes back. This is a little simpler, and this is a method that our audience could use. Before you knock on someone's door, ask yourself three questions. Am I competent? Do I know why I'm there? Do I know what I'm going to talk about? And what I do talk about, will they see me as an authority? So it's that idea of competence. The second thing is, will they see me as a person that has integrity? And that's very important. At any time in any relationship with an employee, or any relationship with a customer client, if you lie, if you exaggerate, if you're unkind, if anything takes a ding in your integrity, again, it opens the door wide open for a competitor to come in. And again, the last thing is, are you compassionate? And I'm talking about business compassion. Again, it's very close cousin to your orientation. And compassion basically means, are you empathetic? Do you have the ability to feel what they feel? And that's really what employees want. They want to know that you are listening, that you are processing what they are saying to you, and that it will have you'll give it significant consideration. And that is how you build trust. And it's not that every single time you have to acquiesce or you have to change what your approach is as a leader. But your employee needs to know that you're listening. Same thing with your customer. The minute they start to feel like you're not listening and focusing in and understanding your fiduciary relationship with them, they're going to check out on you.
Well, that's very interesting. Trust is key, and I think in a lot of the other literature, we can see that as the bottom line. Trust of the employees of the employer. You talked about synergy. If I trust my staff, I get more done through them. If I trust my supervisors or my company owner, I know that he'll have my back. If my clients trust me, they're going to come to me first. That's anything. Any other ideas about trust that we need to talk about?
As I've coached individuals and organizations, one of the things that I have found that is a real hindrance in trust, believe it or not, is the whole idea of nobility. Individuals that come into a company and it's only a job, they're not invested in relationships. They're not invested in building long-term collaborative relationships with your customer. And again, that's what customers are looking for today. They're not looking for vendors. They're not necessarily looking for problem solvers even. They're looking for people that will come in and be part of their team and to be invited to the table or to be invited to the team. you've got to be seen as that trusted advisor, again, that person that has a fiduciary relationship mm-hmm. with the client. So if you don't like what you're doing or you don't see the nobility of what you're doing, that's a problem. And what we have found in organizations, that those organizations who have a office full of employees who are passionate about what they do and believe in what they do and are noble, they're outperforming their direct competitors 6-1 and outperforming the industry 15-1. And so, again, being noble and really loving and enjoying what you do goes a long ways in developing a trust relationship. And it is the leader's responsibility to continually deliver the message about nobility. And, you know, to sit the organization down and say, folks, this is why what we do. This is the impact that we have on the world. Your job is more than just coming in and punching a keyboard, or it's more than just going out and making a sales call. It's really helping other client customers grow. It's helping them accomplish what they want to get accomplished. And so sitting down and having that discussion about nobility is pretty important.
You know, you get me excited and you want me to get up on a white horse and get out there and charge. And that's what I think about nobility and noblemen. People with a cause, with an underlying sense of mission, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting as a business owner realize that the true competitive advantage is laying that groundwork of trust, mm-hmm. and how that flows and how that is extended to the customer.
Right,
that's just mm-hmm. phenomenal. Well, Bruce, I think we've probably come to the end of our time here, but I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your experiences in the field and your thoughts about building trust and how critical that is. Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Rod.